Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunny side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud. It's Friday.
Why did I just hit the table like that?
That's what Rachel Maddow does. She goes...
I love Rachel Maddow. You know I'm obsessed with Rachel.
I know. I told you I have a crush on her.
Oh, my God. She does that. Such a girl crush on her,
She always does that. So, I have, like, your papers.
Like, a little bit of lesbian tendencies, but they're only for, like, bulldoggy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is sort of like, well, then obviously
we don't
I'm not
like
gay.
The pretty. No.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that we both, the girl
yes.
from.
Yes.
Kiyomi. We're obsessed with Kiyomi. Remember she almost came on the show?
Almost, yeah.
We were tweeting at her, and she was like, I'm going to come on. And then she totally ghosted us.
She did. She ghosted us and benched us. And then she bottom feet fed us. There's another, I don't know.
Like, what is that?
I don't know. There's all these, like, lingos for dating in the dating scene.
Oh.
Like spoon feed. I don't know. Lead them. Anywho.
We have a guest today. I'm going to bring her in now so that she can help us with ads.
Yes.
Because why should it be all on us?
Yes, I know. Come on. We're tired. It's Friday. It's been a long week.
Okay. Carrie Gillum is here. She is from the Sip and Shine podcast. She gets a lot of she's been getting plugs for a while at the end of the show.
Thank you
but
so
now,
much, by the way.
Thank you.
And so she's really cool. She's got a lot going on, a big story to tell about parenting. But I just want to say that I met her. I walk in the studio, and it was just not what I expected.
I know she has. If you guys, because I subscribe, and your voice, I was picturing you. I was driving in trying to picture what you would look like. I guess I could have, thank you, could have looked it up online, but.
Could have stopped
yeah,
her.
Yeah, but you would ruin the
could
mystery.
Could have
bottomed her. Yeah, it would have ruined the reveal, as they say.
Yeah, I do sound like a 13-year-old. I get that a lot. I do get phone calls like, can I talk to your dad?
And
I'm like.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so thank you.
Well, I hadn't heard your voice, so I pictured you as being just older, because you have a 17-year-old child.
Well, yeah. When you
I didn't picture you looking 13.
Right. I know. Yeah. When you plug her show, which has been for a long time now, which we really appreciate. Thank you. The Sip and Shine podcast, which is available on iTunes. She does sound, when you hear her show, you're expecting like this mother because you come, there's a lot of story behind you.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know, you just expect this motherly, but you look like my niece.
Yeah.
And you sound like my niece.
Yeah.
My son will tell me too. He'll be like, don't make this weird. If anybody asks, you're my sister.
Ah! Really?
Yeah. He doesn't say so that cute. As much now that I'm heavier, but
aww. He does. Yeah. Heavy. I know. What the hell?
I know.
So we're, right before the show, we were wondering if this was what you expected. Because we've talked about our little studio that could make you feel like you're seeing like on acid.
Oh, it's like everything and more. I came very prepared. I brought a wrap so I could take off my sweater when it gets hot. Because I know you get a lot of hot flashes.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
I did forget my pretzels because usually you're looking for pretzels.
I am usually.
And I did expect the window because I know he makes a lot of faces and a lot of movements and tries to get you going out there. So
yeah, he does like a rep.
Exactly.
He starts pacing back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I saw it outside when we came in. He's like standing over there. I'm like, oh, you know, the boss is getting.
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh, the boss. Yeah. I like
he
that.
Gets very
Ooh.
Like. Yeah, come on. That's why I go, oh, God, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
All right, here's our shout-outs.
Yes.
Bye.
Speaking of shout-outs, before we get into it.
Oh, yeah. Brandless. Have you heard of Brandless, Carrie?
I did. I've actually bought some of your products on here because of your plugs.
Okay, I love their peanut butter. Here's the thing about Brandless. Everything's $3. even if it's more high end, like mm-hmm. even if it's like organic or non-GMOs or vegan or whatever the heck yep. you're up to,
yes.
they've got a product for you and it's $3.
Yeah, because you don't you cut out the middle guy and then you get what the product and you don't have to pay the high prices. And they sent us the peanut butter. They sent us a nice gift box, but the pasta, the peanut butter, and they had these crackers, these savory type of crackers. I can't remember the name of it, but you can get them at Trader Joe's, but without the label. So those, they got a lot of great, really good stuff.
Anyway, if you want to get some brandless stuff, we've got a deal for you. You can get free shipping on your first order if you go to brandless.com and put in the code no code. Just go there. Just do it. That's all you need
That's
to do.
Right.
So brandless. Also, just want to say a lot of times if you're driving around with your kids or I don't know, doing whatever with your kids, and you're looking for a parenting podcast with no F-bombs that's really like made for
right.
your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Penguin has some
audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
you know what? It's nice because our people on For Crying Out Loud, Reel It In, somebody posted, does there anybody that has any recommendations for podcasts that are kid-friendly?
Or audiobooks
mm-hmm,
yeah,
right.
for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can get like The Cat in the Hat, Make Way for Ducklings. This is for your young kids or middle kids, you know? For young adults, they have stuff too. They have great teen books that are perfect for your teens. So here's what you do. You go to tryaudiobooks.com/family listens for listening suggestions. Okay? Go to tryaudiobooks.com/family listens.
And before we get into it, guys, San Francisco selling out. June 2nd is coming up fast. It's
yep.
coming in hot. And you guys got to get your tickets because it's going.
Yeah.
From what we heard. Yeah. It's getting close to getting sold out.
Yes.
So.
And Lynette and I are going to get really drunk.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of us is.
I'm going to stay sober.
Hope it's not me.
I'm going to let Stephanie let it all hang out. Now, we're going to do a slideshow and tell stories. You'll see pictures of everything that we talk about. And
yeah, I pulled a bunch of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I know. From the 80s.
I have to scan them so I can get them to it. But
yeah. Please tell me you're showing Hollywood Squares days and Mike Gerstein.
Oh, yeah. I'll see Mike Gerstein.
Oh, I should show some Hollywood Squares video. Yeah. But I found some. I found an old boyfriend that I lived with, the only other person I ever was close to marrying. And I found a really funny picture of him that he just doesn't look cute at all.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, at the time, I was, like, obsessed with him. And uh-huh. I thought he was really, really good looking and that all my friends were after him.
Oh, yes.
You know
yes.
that feeling where
yes.
you're, I was like, I was truly, I really you. Felt that way. I wasn't like, I had no realism about him. I was just
yeah.
like, oh, my God, every time my friends see him, they're going to try to steal him from me. And later, after we broke up, one of my friends was like, you know, he wasn't that cute. We didn't know how to break it to you because you were so sure. And now I look at pictures and I'm like, yeah,
he's
all right.
No,
he was all right.
Yeah, that reminded me. I know. I had a surfer boyfriend, Chuck, who treated me like crap at my friend's wedding. And I was looking at pictures, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh, what the hell? Like, I thought he was like so handsome and so like what a babe, like surfer California. It was all his hair. Like he had nice golden
right,
curly hair.
Right.
But then after that, that was it.
Right. Like Fabio.
Yeah, like Fabio.
So, Carrie.
Before he got hit in the head.
What's okay. So, tell us about yourself, your life,
okay.
your child. Do you have one kid?
I have three.
Oh, you have three.
I have 17, 12, and 10.
Wow.
So, I'm where you guys
yeah.
are at, but then I'm also like, you
a
know, counting
ahead.
Down to when he turns 18 and he's legal. So,
mm-hmm.
so I have a range of ages.
Right.
So,
okay.
how old's the oldest is?
17.
17 and then 12 and 10.
And
okay. All from the same
Yes.
Daddy.
Yes.
Okay.
All boys?
No, two girls, one boy.
Okay.
Two girls, one boy.
So your oldest is a boy.
Yes. And so just to backtrack a little, I was growing up, and I say all this with humor, so this is definitely not like serious.
Go ahead.
You know,
no,
we're not,
it's okay.
We're in the circle
no,
of trust.
We like to get serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was growing up, and my mom was like, Hot Mess Express. And, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but she had mental health issues. I thought it was just like she was a drinker. Mm-hmm. But really, she probably had bipolar or some psychosis. Like, it kind of tipped me off when the police were calling saying, hey, you probably should commit your mother because she's putting powder all over the attic thinking somebody's living up there to catch them, which I thought was really smart. For somebody who is challenged, I was like, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Or she thought people were stealing things out of her gas tank, or like the doctor's t-shirt at one point was talking to her.
How old were you when you started realizing that she?
Well, I knew probably through like my middle to teen years, because I realized like other parents weren't acting like she was, you know, and then it becomes like, you know, you don't want people to know, but then, like, the school finds out because, you know, she's calling the school, making crazy phone calls.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, oh, my gosh, my teachers must really like me because I'm passing. Really what they were is they were feeling bad for me, you know. So
God.
I was kind of that way. But I was really well adjusted.
But when you were young, like in elementary school, you didn't notice?
Oh, no, I knew.
And where was your dad?
Oh, my dad just worked a lot to get away from her and to support us.
So like
we
my
were
childhood.
With her. Yeah. We were with her for very long periods of time, and she was angry. She was the angry drunk. So when you got home, you're like, oh, what am I coming home to? You know, she was not a good time. She was not a good time, you know.
That's scary.
Yeah, so it definitely was. So
And do you have siblings?
Yeah, I had a little brother and sister who were 7 and 9 years younger.
Mm.
So
oh my gosh.
I took care of them.
Mine are 7 and 9 years younger.
And I went through a period of time where I was kind of alienated from them too, because they were still drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, kind of period of time. So I was like kind of alienated. I got kicked out at 17 when she got reported to CPS. You know, like, oh, let's remove the person that's saying, yeah, this is not really normal, you know.
Right.
So joined the military, and I'm like, woo, I was Private Benjamin, had no idea what I was getting into, never ran a mile, writing recruitment letters home to my recruiter, like, you lied to me. This is not summer camp. We do not have weekends off. I swear he told me that.
Where's the s'mores?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, I got yelled at for eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't like any of this food. Like, I was, you know, I was totally did not know, but they paid for your college.
Yeah.
So I was like, sign me up. Okay. I like sold all my stuff to like get a car and join the military for education.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And so you were in the Army?
For how long?
Air Force.
The Air Force.
22 years.
Holy
years.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So you never left?
This year. Yeah.
Really?
So 22 years.
So you had your family throughout being in the Air Force.
Yeah, so I got away. I was like living the life like I can control my life now. You probably felt like that too. I can finally control my life and have a say in what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Parents divorced. I went through the process. I mean, after I had my son, I probably was very angry with my mom for a period of time because I'm like, how could you be this way? But then I got over it. So, you know, self-actualized, moved on.
But did she ever get help?
She did and she didn't. She doesn't drink as much. Yeah, it probably switched to other things, but her mental health has probably become a lot more apparent, which makes it a little bit more understandable. And now that she's not really in my world directly and I can pick and choose, it's a lot easier to deal with the issues because you're, you know, my sister probably deals with her a lot more. She probably had more of your experience with having to deal more with the doctors and things like that than what I had to.
Right.
So then I have my child and we are like, we are going to love this baby like we've never loved a child before. We're going to be everything that we missed out on having in parents.
Right.
And he was like our shining jewel. I love how I could like compare it to your lives even though you know nothing about mine. Like she was our LB. She was like he was wonderful, was like really good boy, the whole thing. And then as time went by, towards probably about middle school, fifth grade, we started seeing some issues with him where he needed a lot of stimulation and a lot of What are we doing next? You know, couldn't self-soothe. And I couldn't identify at the time as anxiety because when I was growing up, there was no word as anxiety.
Right.
I grew up on the East Coast. No, nothing as anxiety. It's like, suck up that stomach ache. You're going to school. Like, we didn't understand it. So at the time, I had no idea. He wouldn't like self-soothe. And sometimes he'd almost be like annoying to get attention or annoying with his peers because he needed like a constant attention, you know, and couldn't self-soothe. And he wanted that constant. The rest of us are introverts where he was more of that extroverted personality. So we couldn't understand, like, why does he need, like, all this interaction to, like, fill his bucket? Where with us, we're like, can we just be quiet or can we just, like, you know, hang out?
Oh, my God, you sound like Natalia.
And yeah, I feel bad. So then he started getting a little, we started seeing streaks of defiance where, like, one time he went to a private school and he walked off campus and we're like, well, this is so not our child. Like, he's such a good boy, you know? Mm-hmm. Got a phone at around that time and, you know, we caught a couple things, like, we would take the phone away and he'd have, like, a big temper tantrum. Again, we call that the social media cleanse now in the mental health world. Mm-hmm. It does do a kid good, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It is really healthy for them, but yeah. It was like, at the time, I was like, I don't want to look at his phone. This is so weird. I don't want to mm-hmm. check his messages. Mm-hmm. This is, like, awkward for me. Like, you know, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I don't want to take away his phone because that's so, like,
you
know.
Could you imagine if somebody took your phone away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do I have to do to, like, entertain him? Now I have to entertain him because then they become, hey, you're my new playmate because I'm not distracted by something else.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Hey, let's talk.
How old was he at this time?
So this was sixth grade.
Okay.
So right around sixth grade is when we switched to school at fifth grade because he started becoming annoying at school, really. And we started seeing, like, him kind of being, like, you know, the kind of a little bit attention-seeking behaviors with the teachers in fifth grade and a little bit annoying with peers. He needed that constant, like.
So he was an LB, but then he started, and then as maybe hormones started to kick in, he started to.
Yeah.
Change.
Yeah, exactly. But prior to that, he'd put himself in timeout. I mean, he was just such, like, if he was bad, like, I mean, just such a joy. Like, mm-hmm. really, he was like our, I don't want to say our friend, but he was like our buddy. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
as the process I'm telling, you go through a sense of loss when you go through mental health issues because I had to mourn that child that he was and how I thought things were going to turn out to learn how to love the child he's become. Because
mm-hmm.
he's definitely nothing like he's nothing like LB now. Mm-hmm. But it's that sense of loss you process.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get the defiant behaviors and we switch the school because he, you know, was being annoying at school and just the social interaction became everything to him. Like mm-hmm. constantly wanted that social. And then sixth grade, we started getting the defiance. And then by seventh grade is when we found he was cutting himself. And you would reprimand him, and all of a sudden he'd go upstairs, and there'd be cuts all over his arm, mm-hmm. blood everywhere.
Oh my God!
You couldn't reprimand. You could not have a disagreement with him because he was also starting to talk back to us,
mm-hmm.
kind of like the defiant behaviors. He started, or if you saw him wearing long shirts, you started seeing where he was covering up the cutting, which apparently I learned later he learned from YouTube and from being around other kids that cut because mm-hmm. that's where they learn that stuff. It's mm-hmm. not something. I think that's inherent to themselves. They learn a lot of that behavior from other people. And then he also was, so he started the cutting. We started covering up the cutting, and we found a message on his phone saying that he had experimented with marijuana. Now, just to give a disclaimer, some things I'm just going to abbreviate. So I'm definitely not a mental health professional. I'm coming from a mom.
Yeah.
I'm coming from a mom point of view, and I'm not telling you, like, every detail. And also, I am not saying anything about marijuana, whether people should do it or not.
Carrie, this is a judge-free zone.
Because my son's brain is still developing, and so my son experimented with marijuana. And so we were like, oh, my God. Like, we thought the sky was falling at mm-hmm. that point because he's our firstborn. And
sure, of course.
We just didn't know.
Well, 12 years old is very young to be experimenting mm-hmm. with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was drinking at 14, and Elby's 13 and a half. I can't really picture her getting
scary?
Her drink on mm-hmm. like 6 months from now.
Right.
Which I was doing on a regular basis, and it's because I probably had some mental health issues.
Well, look at your childhood compared to hers, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying it's just a weird thing to think of how innocent they are at that age.
Exactly.
Yeah. Point,
there's,
you know?
Like you said, his brain is still.
Yeah,
growing.
And we weren't even letting him watch Cartoon Network. Like, we weren't overly strict.
Oh, my
if
God.
Anything,
now I'm going to have to judge.
Yeah, I know, but if anything, we just, like, overly loved him or overly accommodated a lot of stuff, if that makes sense. Because
mm-hmm.
I went to, like, an early parenting class, and they were like, democratic parenting, where later on the doctors are like, throw that out the window. Mm-hmm. It's not a democracy yet.
Right.
Like,
right.
you know, but I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, he was, I think the oldest child is usually the experiment.
Right.
And we definitely learned our lesson with him with the other ones.
But also, I think, not to interject on your story, but I think that when they're young, especially, and they're good kids, if they don't need, like, you to run a tight ship, then
exactly.
why would you do it You know what I'm saying? Like, LB doesn't need a tight ship. So
no. Neither does Sunny. So.
Right. At this point, I don't have to. Right. She does discipline herself. So I think
totally
it's not.
Agree.
It's like, I don't think you were doing something wrong. You were parenting the kid you had.
Right.
At that time, your child. But okay.
Yeah. So then he started. So then I moved down to Virginia. I got a job down in Virginia. I had to relocate there. And then the idea was, is I will take care of him for the year. We will reconnect with him. Because our one younger child had that up to that point, she had been diagnosed with autism. So she needed a little bit more OT and speech and all that. And we had bought a house and we had went through a divorce and all these things. So we're like, hey, I co-parent with
So you and your ex got divorced at that time that he started having issues.
Exactly. So a lot of the doctors were like, it's probably because of the divorce. And my son was like, no, it's not because of the divorce. Because my ex and I co-parent. We don't even say ex. We say co-parent because we really are still a family. And to be honest with you, at the end of all this, I'm so glad we did because we wouldn't have wanted Kiernan to be in the same house all the time with his sisters. In a way, it kind of helped us.
It worked out.
It helped us with not having caregiver fatigue or having them exposed to some of the things later on that he would be.
Yes.
So it was a way to shelter them.
Why did you? Why do you think you and your ex? Do you think that your problems came from your son starting his behavior?
Well, we did have some of that little bit of stress and the stress of his little sister that would like cry all the time, and we were getting her help. And my ex-husband was a little autistic-y. And so as a result, he's like autistic, like I used to call it Russian orphan syndrome. So as a result, he didn't have normal responses in a marriage that you would expect from a husband. And I was too young and immature to get over
it. Difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead I was like, no, you're supposed to be like my Mr. Big, like you're supposed to give me all these like attention and things. Like I didn't realize the difference. I wish, where were you guys back in the 90s?
Cause
you
where
could
were
just
we?
Get
I don't know.
Me because I listen now and I'm like, oh my gosh, like when you talk about being the difference between content and being happy, I'm like, I should have just been happy with being content and I wasn't. So we just had a lot of immaturity with that. But again, we holiday
were
together.
Young, right?
I was. Yeah. I was like 18, 19 when I first
That's
met him.
That's so that different. I didn't even meet John till I was in my 30s.
That makes a big difference. And then you add the stress of a child going through mental illness.
Yeah. I went through my whole 20s with him and then I hit 30 and I was like, I'm over my daddy issues and I'm over you.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And
but
then
now
I
you
come
guys
around.
Are good.
We're wonderful. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We vacation together. We do all the holidays together. We see each other every week. We talk every day. Like, we're very, very, we probably had to work out a lot of those differences when you have a child who is ill. So I brought him down to Virginia, and that's when it hit off with my child. So we get the cutting. He stops going to school, totally refused to go to school. So I'm reporting it to the school, like, I need help here. Didn't know anything about 504s, knew nothing about that process, and they weren't exactly helping. But they did say they were really nice to him, but sometimes overly accommodating. But he started acting out in school, where this was the child that would never talk back to an adult. And he started cursing out the teachers. One time he threw a computer. He walked off campus. He got caught in the bathroom because they had prescribed Adderall to him. Got caught in the bathroom snorting Adderall.
Oh, boy.
I'm begging them to, like, basically prosecute so I can get him into the system for the court to watch him. And they didn't. They dropped it because he's very well-spoken and they like him. They can tell, like, he's not trying to be a bad kid. So we had... His very first suicide attempt was that summer. I had signed him up for summer camp, like normal kids. Like, I would have killed to go to summer camp when I was younger. I never got to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so I was just like, so I signed him up for summer camp, and he refused to go. I'm like, he left the summer camp all the way across town, walked miles home, because he had holed up in his room for, like, weeks. Like, during the truancy, it wasn't because he was trying to leave the house. He just wouldn't leave his room, and he's watching, like, YouTube videos. And so... He overdosed on Valium. There was Valium in the house. And I didn't know it because it was from an injury. And he overdosed on the Valium. So that was our very first hospital stay and our very first suicide attempt.
Oh, my God. He tried to kill him. And he said, like, I...
Yeah.
Because why?
Because I made him go to summer camp, and I was the worst mom. Like, because
I'm
I made
still back
him.
On Valium for an injury. How do you get that?
Yeah,
how do you get that hookup?
That's Walter Reed. Walter Reed is like, oh, you shot your arm off. Here's some Motrin. Oh, you got a sports injury, Valium, and Ambien.
Got it. Okay.
Got it? You got that? Did you write that down?
Watch, I'm going to get some hate mail from, like, Walter Reed. Like, you're so incorrect.
How do you spell Reed? No.
Yeah. So then he goes, So then we're in the hospital, very first mental hospital. I had no idea. Spent the summer there. So every day I was trucking my girls to the mental hospital to visit him.
Oh, my God.
My poor girls had to see some terrible
things. So he tried – so he did the pill overdose. Just yeah. Let's not gloss over that. So what happened? You found him? Was he unconscious?
Yeah. He sent me a message saying, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to kill myself. I'm taking pills. So I worked an hour away. So I'm calling, like, ambulances to the house to try to intercede. And so at this point, we also started getting, if I tried to take away his phone or say, you're going to school, we had a couple of physical altercations by this point, too. So I had to be careful kind of how I interacted with mm-hmm. him because I was alone with him. So, I mean, I got put in a headlock, things like that. Like, things that even to this day he either feels so bad about, and he even said it before. He goes, Mom, I feel so sorry every day. Can we just have, like, a standing I'm sorry?
Aww.
He's like, I feel so Aww. Much guilt. And there's things that even when he was on some of these things that he doesn't even remember doing. Mm-hmm. Like last fall, I got punched and choked, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So then he goes. So
How old was he when he tried his first suicide?
That was the summer of 7th grade or 8th grade, going to 8th grade.
So 13?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's in the mental hospital. And so I thought this was like an isolated thing.
So hold on, though. So you're an hour away.
Yeah.
And that you send an ambulance. Mm-hmm. So by the time you got home, had he already been taken to the hospital?
Oh, yeah. I had to go directly to the hospital. So I go in
did
there.
Did you think he was just saying it, though? Were you expecting that that they would be like, oh, my God,
he passed out. Like, and again, like later on, he did another attempt with 29 Klonopin, and another one he overdosed on. He's had 3 overdoses, but they can tell by his levels and everything like that. Like the Klonopin, when he was in the ICU, should have killed him. But because he's so used to taking these things, and the doctors have prescribed him Adderall or Klonopin, knowing that he has like an addiction issue or he's abused, and it's like. You know, but his body metabolizes the Klonopin, whatever class drug that mm-hmm. is, so quickly that I've actually had to repeat drug tests with him, like be in the room with him, because they've tested his levels, like, oh, his levels should be higher. Is he, like, not taking his meds like he's supposed to and all that? But, yeah, so he that's his first – to be honest with you, that's not even the worst suicide attempt he had. So if I sound like I'm glossing it over, it's because –
yeah, okay. So the doctors were prescribing these medications.
He begged to come off Adderall the day before he snorted the Adderall. It was like cry for help. Because the Adderall can make him more aggressive and mm-hmm. make him angrier and more depressed. Mm-hmm. And so he overdoses on the Valium. We go to the hospital. He's in there for a while. And at that point, he wasn't supposed to have an electric toothbrush there. Takes the battery out and tries to commit suicide and swallows a AA battery. I have no idea about this. So I go there and I'm like, hey, Kiernan, what's the matter? You're looking a little gray. And he's there with all these kids that – a lot of the kids that are in the mental hospitals he was in, because they're short-term to until – he did go to residential for 6 to 8 months. But the short-term ones are just to stabilize
right.
you so that you won't go home and, like, be suicidal or hurt other people. So you would see schizophrenic kids. You would see kids that were a lot of sexual abuse. And you'd see a lot of kids that were gay or transgender, but the families wouldn't accept them. Mm-hmm. So it's like you'll see that depression.
This is what I try to tell people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and the students
think you're not doing your kid a favor.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you think you're doing the wrong thing by accepting your kid. What are you going to do? You are looking at a really high
mm-hmm. exactly
suicide attempt rate if you. Refuse
right.
to acknowledge that your child's who
exactly.
they are.
Well, especially in – where were you living? In
Virginia. And mm-hmm. I lived in one of the top 10 counties of the country for being an affluent area. So it wasn't – it's not socioeconomic. Mm-hmm. This has no – and this part of the reason why I wanted to come is not like to be self-promoting, but mm-hmm. this happens to anybody.
Uh-huh.
And you could sit here and say, Carrie, but your mom was crazy. But I was like, I left home at 17. We were so normal.
Mm-hmm.
We were just a really normal family. We enjoyed this whole family thing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So then he's at the hospital, and I didn't know it. So I go in there. I'm like, hey, Kiernan, let's do some sit-ups together. Let's get some – you haven't seen daylight in 3 weeks because they don't take him outside. We haven't seen daylight because we were trying to get him placement to a long-term hospital. Let's go out. Let's do some sit-ups. And he's doing sit-ups, and he's breaking out in a cold sweat. He's, like, dying. Had no idea. So I go home that night, and he calls me. He says, Mom, I have a confession. He goes, the kid that I room with told me if I swallowed the battery that I would, it would help kill myself or, it would help get me out of here. So I need to go to the hospital. So he gets taken to the hospital. They have to do a whole procedure to remove the battery. And the very next day, he gets driven 3 hours down to, because of insurance, you can't have these breaks in hospitals. Because, again, a lot of this is insurance-based.
Mm-hmm.
To another hospital 3 hours away. So that was his very first long-term hospitalization at 13. Spent his birthday there for 6-8 months.
Wow.
Away from us. And we went there. We were the only parents that showed up there every weekend, sometimes 2 to 3 times a week. I was driving 3 hours away to him. The very first hospital has charges brought against them. Because, again, part of the reason why I even came in, because I think sometimes you might get some flack about medical or how you handle medical, you know your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So only you're going to advocate. And at the time when we first started this process, we trusted the doctors a lot. And I trust them. And we've had some really great medical people. But sometimes I've had some negative experiences because some of them are underpaid, overworked, not trained well enough. So the very first hospital he went to was, they have charges pending against him now. But this is my first experience mental health wise. And he got the last weekend that I picked him up, his whole face was black eyes. His whole forehead was bruises. The kid tried to choke him because he tried to touch him inappropriately. And he was trying to fight him off. But the staff members would wake them up saying, wake up, you assholes. Get the fuck up. Blah, blah, blah. This was not like a medical. I was thinking
Jesus
it was going to be like a
Christ.
Medical hospital.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God.
Like, you know, puppets.
The last fucking thing.
You know, visiting the room with like puppets. No, my child had to have therapy from this. Like, he wouldn't have his back to the room. He'd always have his back against the wall. Like, you couldn't touch him right away. Because these kids, like one of the kids was in there and they threw an apple at the back of this autistic kid's head and it totally exploded. I mean, the amount of abuse that occurred there, they would let these kids that are there for psychiatric reasons watch the movie Saw.
Oh,
so my kid is
God.
Watching these like crazy movies we've never even watched at home. Yeah, this is what and I'm not lying because there's another incident where Kieran was using my PayPal account with one of the staff members at another hospital to buy drugs, fentanyl. My kid got shot up with fentanyl by another staff member. Wonderful hospital. They didn't know it, but I do have charges on my PayPal account. Kieran had gotten my information, was buying drugs. And then he felt bad reporting this person because, well, Mom, if I report them, they're really broke. They're just trying to, like, help their family. I'm like, this is not helping their family is by buying drugs for the kids here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Yeah.
So
we got to move to another hospital. We thought we were through the clear. He spent another 5 or 6 months there. I was taking my girls to every family, thing. We're doing craft projects there, Halloween projects. I mean, you name it. Like, I'm basically trying to recreate home life at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Had to do family counseling, do
You're
the whole thing.
You're a serious go-getter.
Oh, I'm so not even a Pinteresty kind of person. I couldn't even say Pinterest for like the first 2 years. Everybody would correct me. But I was just trying to not pretend, but I really thought that it was just the bump in the road and we were just this normal.
Right.
Kieran, get out of the hospital so we can go to Disney World.
Right.
Like, I just didn't know that there was mental health issues. I thought it was behavioral, which most people think when this stuff starts.
Sure.
And I didn't realize there was an aspect of addiction there because he is a dual diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the hospitals, because of the way that the insurance system is, a lot of these places, behavioral, are overbooked. And if the kids are sent there because of juvenile system, but there's also a group of kids that are sent there because the social, and again, I'm talking about my state, social workers have no place else to send these kids. They've been in the system since birth. A lot of them were, the mothers were crack addicted or drug addicted or whatnot. So it's a holding place. Like one of Kieran's roommates had 2 changes of clothes to his name and 3 pairs of underwear, and that's all he had. I was like sneaking clothes into these kids. And I'm like, these kids grow up to be adults. And then when they age out of that, they send them to group homes.
And then what?
And then they're out
and
on the...
And then they're up. Yeah.
So it's really sad. Like, every mental hospital, just about a long-term residential, has these groups of kids that are basically in the system. And we had cases of, well, the mom and the boyfriend was molesting the kid, and the mom joined in, and then my son is sitting in the groups with them hearing all these stories. And then they would talk to him, because it's very centric on, well, what did your parents do to you? And my son's like, my mom, she took the cable cords when she went to work so I couldn't play video games when I didn't go to school. Like, these were his complaints. He called the cops one time on me because I was not buying, like, snacks for the house, just, like, stuff you had to cook when he was not going to school. And he told the cop, he goes, she's not feeding me. And he's like, and he's like, well, why not? Because she won't buy me cereal. He's like, well, you're not going to school. Like, my son, in his own innocence, was very, like, you know.
And so he has to sit there and listen to these horrific stories
it's
of
terrible.
Getting sexually molested. When
I feel so sorry for them.
Yeah.
And I really feel really sorry. And at some point, I had always wanted to work with a nonprofit with veterans. But I think at some point, I want to work with the mental health with teenagers
too.
Because it's a need. It's it's a forgotten population. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a little boy at the hospital, because some of these kids are young, and there's a little boy. And again, it's some of it's generational, and some of it, in our case, was he has a genetic predisposition. And so the little boy was so excited about Christmas with Santa. That's all he would talk about. And Karen's like, Mommy, I feel so sorry because the parents aren't coming to get him for Christmas. And he goes, how's Santa going to come here for him?
How old was it?
The little boy was 9 years old. And he was in with these older kids that were middle school because they didn't have a placement in the younger grades. Because there's kids there. You'll go to the hospitals that are 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
That are there, that are already acting out. I don't...
Okay.
So
I want to talk to you
so
the
not
show
what you
about,
expected about
no,
Friday.
No, I know. But I want to... Yeah, I want to ask you about that. I was thinking I had some ideas. But...
Yeah.
So, okay. What, can I... So your mom had mental illness.
Yes.
You didn't think that... You just thought... It was a behavioral issue.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't think anything like this.
No.
The genetic gene got... Okay.
No, and I was, like, in denial because her dad had some mental health, and it's generational, but I was just like, well, no, I can cure this by, like, overparenting, you know?
Yeah,
I can cure this.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize even with later on, again, because it's a process of loss or of actual, you know, processing of what we can control and what we can't. A lot of early intervention I found later on with schizophrenia, psychosis, drugs, anything like that, with early intervention, it can be very, very successful.
Really?
Yes, and my son's been on whatever you feel about medication, all that. It's
we're
not,
pro.
Okay, because I had my son's medicated.
Yeah,
thank God, because otherwise my kid would probably be.
Absolutely,
not, I do it to protect it, but the community and to see the glimpses of the kid I know him to be. But there was time, like they said, he had some issues where the psychosis started coming out, where he'd disassociate, or he feels like things are touching his neck or his underarms, like towards his teen years. So I'm like, oh my gosh, is it schizophrenia? Because my grandfather had it. So, of course, as soon as I heard schizophrenia, like the tears start, I'm picturing him living on the street. Like, is this what? And I'm like, I don't want him to be a burden to my daughters because it's caregiver fatigue. They already have it.
Right.
And there's so much emphasis on the mental health care system to, again, what did your parents do to you? And we got to fix the child. We got to make sure he's in the home and we're giving him these resources, and he has to get counseling every day, and he has to have AA meetings every day, because we can't take him to NA meetings because then he learns more about drugs and what to do, which he didn't know, you know. And
for anyone that's wondering, NA is Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah. So I've done Al-Anon meetings on, I do an online Al-Anon group and all that, and I've taken him to meetings and all that. But he did learn a few things from NA of, like, how to do worse stuff because it wasn't age appropriate.
Totally, right.
Yeah, I mean, he's learned how to now go into pharmacies and what drugs to steal. Like, they're called triple C's. The hospital staff didn't even know. If you take a certain amount of them, they can trip or get high on them. And they're not secured because they're not one of the chemicals that go into, like, meth or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're right out there, and they're very easy to take. I'm telling the hospital staff, because last fall he had a relapse. That's when I got choked, and he was, like, punching me. And he was tripping. He got high on triple C's, and then was like, "Can you take me to an AA meeting now?" Because he thinks if he goes to an AA meeting while he's high, then he's not in trouble because he went to go get help. And I'm like,
so okay,
because you add in like a 15, 16 who are very manipulative,
right?
And you put them in a mental health situation, and they're like really. Minute, you know,
oh,
they
yeah.
can take it to the next level.
Yes.
So you bring him home for the hospital. So he's in the long term.
Yeah, so he goes to the long term. We had a pretty good case. I bring him home from the hospital. Then I had to literally take notes because he had 22 hospitalizations.
My goodness.
So he comes home for North Springs. He has surgery on his hip, which again,
oh, no.
He gets hooked again on the
painkillers. Yeah. Why did he need surgery on his hip?
Because he had a degenerative hip disease.
Oh, boy.
So he had to have the whole thing replaced or whatever. Then he got violent towards me, and he tried to run away. We were arguing in a car because I told him he had to leave the school grounds. He was not even in high school yet, and he went to homecoming.
This is all before high school?
Yeah, this is going in from the hit because he failed eighth grade, so he had to repeat eighth grade. So then he should have been a ninth grader, but he's in eighth grade. So he's trying to, and basically eighth grade just pushed him out. I think they were just, so he tried to go to a regular high school, but so he's at homecoming. I'm like, you need to come, not homecoming, but the game. I'm like, mm-hmm. I told you to come home at a certain time. You need to come home. And he's so mad at me, cursing me out to the point where it's not even making sense, to a normal person. Mm-hmm. You can just tell, the speed, the rapid fire speech, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so he jumped out in the traffic. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, I got to call the cops because one of the biggest things going through this process is how terrible would I feel if he hurt somebody else, mm-hmm. or somebody else hit him in traffic, and I would not want to ever have that on their conscience, even though that's not their fault. Mm-hmm. So the police got involved. He ends up going away again. Came home. He was in that hospital again, the same one with the battery, because it's the only one in our county that will take kids that aren't sentenced
horrible.
There for short term.
Mm-hmm.
He was choking out each other. That's the other way the kids were getting high, is they were choking each other out, and they were inhaling hand sanitizer, the foam.
Mm-hmm.
So he broke his hand there, too, because the kids were choking each other out, and then he hit the wall to be cool or whatever. So they didn't give him any medical care. So the next day I go in, his hand's completely swollen. I said, he needs medical care, or you're going to have a lawsuit, because mm-hmm. my kid already swallowed a battery here.
Right.
So he ends up having to put the cast on, takes off his own cast, the whole cast, because he wants to play sports. And he, because, in the hospitals, because he got sent to another hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came home from other hospital,
mm-hmm.
he ended up overdosing again. I don't even remember what.
But so this is a medication that he must have gotten from his surgery,
yes.
from his hand.
Yeah, so he overdosed on Clonopin, Vicodin, and I want to say the other one is Valium or something like that, because he was hoarding his medications, which, by the way, if you have any kind of worries or anything, always do a drug sweep, because you'll find stuff, or sometimes they'll just take stuff in your medicine cabinet not even knowing what it was. He took my Synthroid one time thinking he was going to get high.
Mm-hmm.
They really have
They get desperate and they don't know.
Yeah, or he was taking the alcohol, and I'm like, Kiernan, this is not my first word. I know what I was doing when I was mm-hmm. a teenager. He didn't even bother putting water back in the bottle,
uh-huh.
So he didn't realize I was marking the bottles, but again, this was early on. Now I have no liquor in the house. I have no mm-hmm. meds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really careful. But early on,
there
would be times there'd be medication that I didn't know was around. Because
mm-hmm.
again, think about if Elby suddenly had some behavioral issues and you'd be like, oh, well, they're okay now. I can trust them.
Yeah,
again.
You don't think they're going to go.
No, mm-hmm. you don't. I don't mm-hmm. think like that. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then they pick up all these little things at the hospitals that they learn little tricks and trades.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then that summer he comes home. So by this time we've had two long hospitalizations of 6 to 8 months apiece. So now I'm going to get to the real traumatic
wow.
stuff. So he was gone. And
so this was the light stuff?
Yeah, this was
this
the light stuff.
This is the appetizer?
Yeah, exactly. And again, they don't do drug treatment at the hospitals because because of insurance, and a lot of the programs aren't set up for earlier intervention. So I'm trying to take him to AA meetings on weekends, and I'm trying to give my own drug treatment, and I was not I didn't go through the full 12 steps at that. I didn't know. I'm winging it as I go. They even had me, I'm buying workbooks for them to work with him at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad it was getting, where mm-hmm. I'm trying to give them therapeutic workbooks. Can you work on this with my kid? My kid has an anxiety issue. This is what's causing him not want to go to school. He hasn't been around normal peers, and all these
right,
things.
Right.
So then that summer, I actually was listening the other day. I had taped an episode with him, and I wasn't going to talk about my podcast at all, but I have taped some episodes with him, but I had a great episode with him. He's talking about how well he's doing and how great. That night, I told him he couldn't go someplace with his friends, and he tried to hang himself. State police found him. Yeah, lost consciousness, the whole thing. Yeah, because when you have a kid that self-harms and they don't know how to react with their emotions, what mm-hmm. The first thing they do? Mm-hmm. Self-harm. And he had an eating issue at the hospital because that was a way he could control his environment. Everything is regulated to when you go to the bathroom. So the only thing he could control was his eating consumption. And he liked to pick up other people's, you know, their little whatever they had going mm-hmm. on. So he'd be like, okay, I'm going to have an eating disorder too. So then he started mm-hmm. doing it. So I was going through that time and all that. So he hangs himself. That week, his dad was like, Carrie, we've already been through all these hospitals. He has like a job interview this week. Let's just bring him home. We can help him. Like, let's not, because of course he's manipulating. Like, you're going to leave me there again. You know how bad it mm-hmm. is. You are giving up on me. You don't love me. It's easier for you to send me there. When meanwhile, it's so not. Like, our whole lives were put on hold for this.
Right.
So I was like, all right, Pat, what if you think that we can help him at home and this is a one-off, we'll do it. So that happened in August, and then September, I went to the PTA meeting because I was like, I'm going to be the PTA mom.
Like you don't have anything else going on.
I know. So I'm like, I'm going to be the PTA mom. I'm going to show that I have an interest in the school. So, I mean, he's in high school. Like, how many people are on the PTA in like mm-hmm. high school? But I'm trying. I'm trying to like make it so we can finally give him a normal childhood.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, because we missed this block of time. I'm going to make it up. So I go to the PTA meeting and I text him. I'm like, I know you're not home. I was like, where are you? And I had to leave the open house or the school meeting. And I come home, and he's in the dining room. And I lived on the fourth story. I brought pictures for you guys to see. But we live on the fourth story balcony. I live in a penthouse. And he's like, I don't want to argue with you, Mom. I said, well, I'm not going to back you up on your IEP to send you back, you know, IPA. I'm not mm-hmm. going to back you up on your IPA to mm-hmm. send you back to a normal school.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I was like, because you can't even handle mm-hmm. being where you're supposed to be. Right. And he went to like talk back to me, and he turned around, and he's like pulling out his hair, and he walked out on my balcony, and he jumped. Went through the car windshield of the car next door. So I'm like, I look over the balcony, and all I see are the legs sticking out of the car window, and I was like, he finally did it. We've already gone through 5 suicide attempts. He's finally finished the job. Mm-hmm. His dad's in Alabama. I'm calling him up on the phone on one hand, and I'm calling the 911 on the other. I'm yelling at my kids to get away from the window because mm-hmm. I don't want them to see his body. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, get away from the window. So I'm on the phone, and I'm like, he did it. He's dead. And there's, and again, this is going to sound judgmental, but part of me had a tremendous amount of loss and, mm-hmm. and to see my child, but part of me also felt this weird sense of relief.
Sure.
That his pain was over.
Yeah.
And I never, ever, ever want to, I'm just speaking a mm-hmm. true feeling mm-hmm. because some people may, I had to go to therapy to get over that feeling of relief. Mm-hmm. It's because I felt guilt for feeling that way.
I understand that. That's totally.
You know, and mm-hmm. you're like, and I, and he, by this point he was nothing.
But you
like,
were in like an, you were in like a, ongoing crisis.
Yes, for 5 years by that
right.
point.
Right. So I can understand yeah. that yes. you were like, five okay, point, five there was years. A conclusion to this.
Yeah, and I'm not even mentioning like the times where I got cursed out or the language around my girls and the constant, you know, I mean, there's so many other individual,
sure.
I mean, when you have it's so many other events that led up to this. I'm just telling you like the big ones.
Right.
But it was really every single day. And mm-hmm. I have like logs of every mm-hmm. day because you, sadly, in order to get your child help in this country, you can't go on what your feeling is on it. You have to build up a history. Mm-hmm. So even though I would kept trying to go to the school or go to the court or go to the doctors, they kept having to say, well, we need more of a history, or does he have charges against him? I'm like, all right, my kid just punched somebody who needs surgery at a hospital. You're telling me that I have to build, I need,
yeah.
you know, or
that
he did that
arrested.
Twice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had to do that twice, and he's never had any charges against him, even though we've had several incidences where there was violence involved.
But oh,
because
my
we
gosh.
Had to build, we either had to build the history or they would take his mental health into account. And one point, the cop was looking at me like I was odd because when he had punched me in the face and he had like wrecked something and then like ran away because we were up to that point. We knew that it was building up to another hospital, and we had begged for it. But because he was over 14, they have to medically consent. So we'd have to do the TDO. We'd have to go to court and take away his medical. We did it twice and get a PEP team. I mean, he was in the ICU, and we had to get a team to come to evaluate whether we could take away his medical rights to send him to another hospital. So I'm sitting here, and I'm like telling the cop, I'm like, no, please arrest him. I said, I just need him in the system. The charges won't go through. I just need him in the system so I can show this to why I can send him to another hospital and not have him be in juvie. I don't want him in juvie. I just want to be able to show. And the psychiatrist, because we were at the evaluation location, she comes up. She goes, no, she's right, because they need to build a history. They need to show they're either going to be a harm to themselves or harm to somebody else, or she has no case. So once that changed mm-hmm. his tune. But I've had that judgment of people that were newer or didn't understand the system. Sure. But so many times we tried to head this off.
Right.
Okay, so your child
what happened?
Is in
you
the
saw,
car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so his feet are hanging out of the windshield, and I'm calling his dad, and I'm like in the hallway, and there's a guy standing by the elevator, and I said, he didn't know it, but it was his car. He didn't know what happened because his family was standing by the car waiting to leave for dinner. And they literally were just watching this kid fall from the balcony into the car, and they were waiting for him to come downstairs. So I'm handing him, I said, you need to give him the address. I can't explain mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like laying on the floor on my knees at this point because I'm like, oh my God, like my mm-hmm. kid's dead. Mm-hmm. So I come back to the balcony and he's gone. Yeah. So I look, he regained consciousness. Even though he had, like, he was totally busted the whole thing and tried to run away again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's, like, pure adrenaline rush, like what you see in battle, you know, mm-hmm. no matter, because, I mean, he was pretty banged, you know, his head, his shoulder, mm-hmm. his ribs, his internal, like, the whole thing. And so the ambulance comes and we have to leave, and my girls start crying when we walk downstairs because they saw the little girl next door was 4. And my daughter goes, I don't want her to see it. I don't want her to see what Kiernan did. I don't want her to know this. Mm. And I felt so bad because she was concerned about being exposed to this. Mm. And I had another insurance claim in too because at the time my dishwasher was getting installed, so it went through the downstairs condo. Mm-hmm. So there was like water damage. So there's like water leaking, like the dishwasher's going off, you know, the spray. Right. I got the fire department. I got the whole thing. So we're at the hospital. He's in the neck brace, and why he survived four stories he fell is because he didn't try to brace himself. Usually you can fall from a second story and die, but because he didn't brace himself, he had less damage. And if they had moved that car any second later, he definitely would have been dead. So they had him in the neck brace, the whole thing, and he was completely on the stretcher and just kept saying over and over again, I'm sorry, Mommy, I'm sorry. And then he knows, like, kind of what to say in the ER. Like, I wasn't trying to commit suicide. Okay, I was, but I didn't mean it, you know. So because they know, like, the rehearsed questions are going to be asked. And by that time, some of the staff was coming in and out. And I don't really blame – first of all, they were really astounded he made it. But I also don't blame them that the one staff member said to me, she goes, I see so many kids are coming in and out of here with – self-harm or suicide attempts, and they're not realizing. She goes, and sometimes she goes, I just get burnt out just seeing this. And at this point, my career had suffered so much. I'm sitting here trying to call into work to be like, hey, I might be a little late tomorrow because I'm still trying to go to work because I'm worried about my job.
Oh my God.
Because I get called every day outside of work. Like, right. Your kid did this. Your kid just overdosed at school. Your kid just walked off. Your kid's on something. Mm-hmm. That at this point, I was still trying to cover it up at work. I feel really bad. I hope I'm not going over serious stuff.
This has obviously gotten better.
Yeah, so this was 2016. He went to another hospital again for 8 months. I see definitely a difference of he's recovered really well, but I don't even think he knows it or that the county has really assessed that. I definitely can tell a difference in his mental capacity. I can even he talks louder. He's not as well spoken. So I think he has a brain injury, and his personality has definitely changed. And that's what I was saying before is I've had to process the loss. He's never going to be that little boy that he was. Mm-hmm. I just got to let that ship sail. Mm-hmm. I've just got to get to know him now. We did have some regression, which he's still working through maturity-wise. Like, for instance, he would hate me saying this, but he got a bunch of wrestling guys for Christmas because he was basically going back in time to when that the problem started. Mm-hmm. So he was playing with the things that he wanted to play with at that age. Or you'll see him be very affectionate with me or call me mommy, and because he's going back to that period of time before all this trauma mm-hmm. happened. So we're still getting him help. I don't think, though, at 18, when he turns 18, he's going to be able to live on his own right away. We're working on that because his maturity level is just not there, and him being able to facilitate the task like a normal 18-year-old would, with like right. college applications and all that.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. When when did you make the connection that it's mental illness, and at what point?
The mental illness, I would say, to be honest with you, the first 2 years of it, they were still treating it like it was behavioral. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying to them, and they would always tell me, even to this day, well, he had some early drug use. I'm like, yeah, but he never left his room. There was not that much marijuana used.
Right.
There was not, like, he was not smoking it every day. I could probably name myself, which, oddly enough, my mom would never know how much 40s and what I was doing, you know. Mm-hmm. But I could name all the times where he ever experimented and what he experimented with.
But also, lots of kids smoke a ton of pot at young, and they're not violent trying to commit suicide.
And they said that probably triggered this genetic component. Early adolescent drug use of marijuana. This is what it explained to me. Again, I'm not a doctor. Early childhood adolescent use of marijuana or a traumatic brain injury can cause bipolar, schizophrenia, all that. So, but my child didn't have the head injury until he was 17. Again, we looked at every incident. Like, oh, did he roll off the bed? When he was a baby. I mean, they've looked at every single event. But I definitely think in the beginning it should have been treated more like a mental health issue, even though they kept telling me for the first 2 to 3 years, it's just early childhood trauma, or not early childhood trauma. They kept telling me, oh, it's just he smoked marijuana. I'm like, yeah, but
is it because has that predisposition for mental illness? Then when you take that and you add drugs to it,
yes,
it makes it.
Yes. And they said that we'll never be. They even said to me that even because he had like a traumatic event happen to him at another time, they said, even if that didn't occur, this very well could have happened because he just has that genetic predisposition. And I said, but I've asked for all these things early on, saying that this wasn't normal, and try to get him earlier intervention to where I don't think that it needed to progress as far as what it did if I just listened to myself and didn't trust the doc. Like, I mean, I trust the doctors when I think that, but there's times where I was telling them, no, I don't want him to be on this, or no, I need help sooner because I mm-hmm. don't think this is behavioral. My kid was not doing this at 7 and 6. Mm-hmm. And if there is something genetically predisposition there that an outside environmental factor hit off or whatever, I would like to get him early intervention so it can be a successful case.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a problem in our society right now. Somebody on our Facebook group recommended this documentary, mm-hmm. this HBO documentary mm-hmm. called Dangerous Son. Mm-hmm. A Dangerous Son? Anyway, it was very much what you're talking about, where these kids are violent. They have violent tendencies. They're hurting kids. And a lot of them are labeled oppositional disorder and yep. these other things. Mm-hmm. And they're having a lot of trouble, the parents in this, getting their kids in the system. There's very few beds.
Yes, like that's what I had. That's why we had 3 to 4 week waiting periods and all that.
Right.
Because we couldn't get him a bed. And aggressive behavior in boys is 9 times out of 10 is depression. That's when Karen would act out a lot of times. And again, there's just kids that are aggressive, whatever. I'm not saying, they get the alpha or the sports mentality. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about if your child is suddenly beginning violent and he's a boy, a lot of times it's because he is depressed. It comes out as depression. Mm-hmm. You probably see your husbands walking around the house being grumpy or being assholes because they don't know how to verbalize, hey, I'm depressed right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me, that this is an ongoing problem, and it never seems to get any better. I mean, it's your child, but it was also my parent. I mean, back in the day when I was trying to get my mom help, I had no rights because she's an adult and she can do whatever she wants. So she wants to go walk around in her robe outside on the streets and talk to Jesus, then she can.
Yep, that's what I was told, too. Yeah, your son is 14 or 15, 16. He can make his own medical decisions. I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to head off. I'm legally responsible for him. I'm not going to get in trouble when he doesn't go to school. He does these things. But I'm telling you there's an issue. I need to be able to make those medical decisions for him. His brain's not developed yet.
Right.
So I need to, you know.
I read a story in the paper just recently about a mom who wanted her son was violent and was very violent and trying to hurt her other kids, right?
Yep.
And she was trying to get him removed from the home. And they were saying that if she did that, then she would be arrested for abandoning her child. And she was like, I can't get him psychiatric help. Mm-hmm. Like, and he is doing all these things and he's a danger to me and to my other children. But basically they were like, okay, but if you do that, then you're going to be arrested.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she was like,
I've
had that too. Put me in an impossible position.
I've had that too. I'll tell his dad, I'm like, listen, we always try to like head off the conflict, but especially, you know, you try to head it off, but I'm like, okay, we've just got to let it play out. We know he's going to go hurt himself like in the fall. We knew it was building up for weeks and we begged and begged and begged the case managers and stuff. Hey, this is not right. He's cursing us out every day. He's very angry. There's something wrong with the meds. There's something wrong. And finally he went and did those triple C's I was saying, and I asked to see his book bag. I knew he had liquor, had something in there, and I went to grab the book bag, and he turned around and he started choking me and punching me. But we avoided those conflicts. But finally, and his dad was like, well, why did you ask him? I was like, because I have to. What if he was leaving? Who knows what he was leaving the house with or mm-hmm. who he's coming into contact with? I also have to keep the community safe too, mm-hmm. because we'll be the first one to get a lawsuit against us, so I don't want to hurt another person.
What about being in the service? Isn't there any I would like to look into some sort of organizations in every city should have. I mean, every state should have some sort of organizations or some. Did the service being in the Air Force have any kind of resources or anything for families?
Well, the insurance doesn't cover anything drug related.
Everything's
so you can't put anything like that on their applications as to basis to get them into any programs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and they have an exceptional family member program. But however, if you're in a special duty assignment, whether people like it or not, it's going to impact you whether, oh, should we put this person in for promotion or not? What about their family situation?
Right.
Well, can they really do the duties they're supposed to do? Mm-hmm. So, and I love the military. I won't, you know, I don't want it to speak negatively, but as being a female and being a mother, my son's issues definitely took a toll on my career. I will not lie on that. Like, mm-hmm. it really did impact me. And being a single mother, no less. It's like, and a lot of people's answers with everything was, oh, look up NAMI. So mm-hmm. it's like I emailed them, but I never got
Nothing.
Any services from them.
You know, I want to strangle Dr. Drew, because when I got married, I was wanting, instead of gifts, give to an organization. And I asked Dr. Drew what mental – and he's like, the only one is NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness.
They need to be more grassroots.
That's
in the community.
What I'm saying.
I'm sure they're doing great things, and they sit on my son's his wraparound team, which we're going to lose services in 2 months. And my son's not – he's not at 18-year-old mm-hmm. level, and we're about to lose our services. And I'm sure they do great things, but they were not, like, shaking my hand at the hospital. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Like, they're too big. It's
yes.
like, I'm sure they're doing great things, lobbying Congress or whatever their purpose is, but they were definitely not at the
they're
hospital
not,
with
right.
me. Mm-hmm. They were not the resource I was calling at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't.
Now,
they weren't
do you
there.
Know if there is any resources out there? And then
no, just usually like the counties, it's up to the states. And this is one of the things why I was mentioning. I just found out recently by my own caregivers that we live in the state that's rated 45th worst in the nation for mental health. Like it really goes, it's a state by state case basis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's such a need. And there's so many of these teens out there too, like I was mentioning before. There's just a huge need. And mm-hmm. I think this is going on way more. And mm-hmm. we were so ignorant to the process.
Right.
And that's why part of the reason why personally both of you had an influence on me for different reasons, but that's why I wanted to actually come in person to say thank you for being my you were my only mommy friends for a while.
Oh
but,
my
because
gosh.
That's all this is all I listened to when I was driving to and from the hospitals. You were my mommy friends. Oh. I had no support system because I didn't live at my home state. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her the story. I got cheated by, I thought you were I didn't know what a podcast was, and I looked up, you had an episode Channing Tatum. So I was like,
Channing
I listened
Tatum.
To the whole thing, and I'm like, where is he?
It's behind the glass.
So I was totally bamboozled to listen, but then I was like, well, I got to know what happens with Sadie got picked up yesterday. What happened with that? Or like, you know, all this stuff going on with Sonny, you know, head injury and all these things. I was like, no, I need to know.
Yeah. Aww. So I guess
that's
everybody's
how we suck
resources.
People in. Channing Tatum.
Yes.
We got to do that more often.
Yeah, I know.
I was remembering that was one where I couldn't figure out if it was Tatum Channing.
Right.
Or Channing Tatum.
Because there's so many of those actors that all kind of look the same. And so we could never, Kaylin's name, we could never remember his name. And he looks like just one of those.
A Brandon.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I know. That's why, like, I stumbled when I said his name when I came in. Because I'm like, I know you as Brandon.
He's fine with that.
All right. This has been I feel like we could do 3 hours.
Carrie,
I'm sorry, I talk so much.
No, my God. Thank you. I can't even. Yeah. It's unbelievable what you've gone through.
Thank you for having me on and not thinking I was some rando wacko.
Are you kidding?
I was like, no, I think I have I think I have something that is right, you
know. This is a parenting podcast.
And I reached out to you right after the accident because a particular story really struck with my son. And I was like, I don't know. Like, because again, I was very naked and afraid. Like, I didn't know. I wasn't even processing things like normally because it's not like me. But I had reached out to you on a personal level to be like, hey, you impacted like our story. You impacted us.
Talking about Xander.
Yeah. And then you impacted me because of my mom. Mm-hmm. You were the first woman that like was like a cool chick that like said, hey, my mom was like kind of a little messy. Mm-hmm. So, and I had never heard that because when I was growing up, you just hid that. So I was like, wow, she's like, like she's owning this.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a messy mom too.
Yeah,
this is why Lynette and I get along so well. Is we neither one of us have a filter.
We don't hide nothing.
Should I have talked about it? We're just like we get in these conversations and we think we're
and then
there's
we get
no
in
audience.
Trouble.
No, I love, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yes.
Yeah,
this has been really great, Carrie. Tell us. Okay, so your podcast is called Sip and Shine.
Yes.
As you know, it's available on iTunes, and you also have a website, sipandshinepodcast.com.
Yes, and I have a lot of personal essays out there, like what it's like living with mental health is like living with a terrorist, you know, dealing mm-hmm. with that and about his fall and all those. So I have a lot of personal essays out there and stuff.
Okay.
On your website?
Yeah.
Okay. And her Twitter is @SipShinePod.
Yep.
So find that.
Yep, and Facebook and Instagram and all that. So.
Well, this was a good episode.
I thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you.
So glad. I'm glad you came in.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about this stuff a lot lately, and I want to talk to you after we're done.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And if anybody, if you're looking for another podcast, we need to tell you about Small Town Murder. We almost had them on. Well, we really did have them on, and then...
Brandon fucked everything up.
Brandon. This is about murders in the small town. It's hosted by two comedians, Small Town Murder. It's a podcast one podcast. So remember to
check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think that's it.
And Patreon.
Patreon.
That's how we've.
You got to do the song while I'm here.
Yes. Well, after
it's
we're
on
done.
Like Patreon.
Patreon.
Now it's on Patreon. Yeah, join Patreon if you're a $5 level. You will get access to all of the content. If you're $10, you'll get a T-shirt. If you're $50, you get a business shout out. But you know we're already long, so I'm going to do all of our business shout outs on our.
You have already done
them.
It on
I
Monday
did them on
show.
Tuesday. You guys can hear them all.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
No, oh, my gosh. No.
And so thank you, Carrie.
Thank
really
you
appreciate
so
it.
Much. I know. You came far away.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
So much better. You thought that I'd be weak without you, but I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you. I left harder. You thought I wouldn't grow without you. Now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna work harder.
better than that. I'm not gonna blast you on the radio.
I'm better than that.
I'm not gonna lie to you in your family.
I'm better than that.
I'm not gonna hate on you in the magazine.
I'm better than that.
I'm not gonna compromise my Christianity.
I'm better than
you
that.
You know I'm not gonna diss you on the internet, 'cause my mama taught me better than that.
Survive.